The first thing I heard was hectic-sounding, hyperactive music. A singer was screaming tunelessly, and drums were pounding, and someone was either playing electric guitars or slowly dipping partially laryngitic cats in boiling oil. None of the supposed musicians appeared to be paying attention to anything anyone else in the band was doing. "Christ," came Binder's accented voice. "Not even you could dance to that tripe." There was a low-throated female laugh, and a slurred and very happy-sounding Madeline Wraith replied. "This music isn't about skill and precision, my sweet. It's about hunger and passion, and I could dance to it to make your eyes fall out." "I'm not your sweet," Binder said, his voice annoyed. "I am not your anything, Dux, excepting your contracted employee." "I'm not sure I'd emphasize that if I were you, Binder," Madeline said, "since you've been a crushing disappointment as a hireling."
"I told you when I got started that if anyone from the White Council showed up, I couldn't make you any promises," he shot back, his voice annoyed. "And lo and behold, what happens? That buggering lunatic, Harry Dresden, shows up with backup, and with the support of the local constabulary to boot."
"I'm getting so sick of this," Madeline said. "He's only one man."
"One bloody member of the White Bloody Council," Binder countered. "Bear in mind that someone like him can do everything I can do, and considerable besides. And even people on the Bloody Council are nervous about that one."
"Well, I'm sick of him," spat Madeline. "Did you find out where he's got Morgan hidden?"
"Maybe you didn't hear, love, but I spent my day chained to a chair getting popped in the mouth."
Madeline laughed, a cold, mocking sound. "There are places you'd have to pay for that."
"Not bloody likely."
"Did you find Morgan?"
Binder growled. "Dresden had him stashed in rental storage for a bit, but he haired off before the cops could pick him up. Probably took him into the Never Never. They could be anywhere."
"Not if Dresden is back in Chicago," Madeline said. "He'd never let himself be too far from Morgan."
"So check his bloody apartment," Binder said.
"Don't be an idiot," Madeline said. "That's the first place anyone would look. He's not a total moron."
"Yeah, I wasn't."
Ahem.
Binder snickered. "Your money, Rafe. Money never really gets it."
Madeline's voice turned waspish. "What's that supposed to mean?"
"That not everyone has a bloody string of mansions around the world that they live in, or extra cars that they never really drive, or cash enough to not think twice about dropping $200 on a bottle of $40 room service champagne."
"So?"
"So? Dresden's a bloody kid by council standards. Lives in that crappy little hole, and pays for an office for his business to boot. He ain't had a century or two of compounded interest to shore up his accounts now, has he? And when he set himself up an emergency retreat, did he buy himself a furnished condo in another town? No. He rents out a cruddy little storage unit and stacks some camping gear inside."
"All right," Madeline said, her tone impatient. "Suppose you're right. Suppose he's got Morgan at his apartment. He won't have left him unprotected."
"Naturally not," Binder replied. "He'll have a bloody minefield of wards around the place. Might have some conjured guardians or some such as well."
"Could you get through them?"
"Give me enough time and enough of my lads, and yeah," he said. "But it wouldn't be quick, quiet, or clean. There's a simpler way."
"Which is?"
"Burn the bloody place down," Binder said promptly. "The apartment's got one door. If Morgan comes scurrying out, we bag him. If not, we collect his bones after the ashes cool, identify him with dental records or something, and claim the reward."
I felt a little bit sick to my stomach. Binder was way too perceptive for my comfort level. The guy might not be overly smart, but he was more than a little cunning. His plan was pretty much exactly the best way to attack my apartment, defensive magics notwithstanding. What's more, I knew he was capable of actually doing it. It would kill my elderly neighbors, the other residents of the building, but that wouldn't slow someone like Binder down for half a second.
"No," Madeline said after a tense moment of silence. "I have my instructions.
If we can't take him ourselves, we at least see to it that the wardens find him.
The wardens have found him, Binder complained. Dresden's a bloody warden. Your boss should have paid up already.
There was a quiet, deadly silence, and then Madeline purred.
You've been modestly helpful to him in the past, Binder, but don't start thinking that you would survive telling him what he should or should not do. The moment you become more annoying than useful, you are a dead man.
No sin to want money, Binder said sullenly. I did my part to get it.
No, Madeline said. You lost a fight to one overgrown Boy Scout and one pint-sized mortal woman, got yourself locked up by the police, of all the ridiculous things, and missed your chance to earn the reward.
Sheets rustled, and soft footsteps whispered on the carpet. A moment later, a lighter flicked. Madeline smoked.
Binder spoke again in a tone of voice that indicated he was changing the topic of conversation.
You going to clean that up?
That's exactly why it's there, Madeline said. She took a drag and said, cleaning up. It's too bad you didn't get here 5 minutes sooner.
And why is that?
Because I probably would have waited to make the call. I felt myself leaning forward slightly and holding my breath.
What call? Binder said.
To the wardens, naturally, Madeline said. I told them that Morgan was in town and that Dresden was sheltering him. They should be here within the hour.
I felt my mouth drop open, and my stomach did a cartwheeling backflip with an integrated quadruple axle. Oh, crap.